Welcome to Bible Strong and greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad you're making Bible Strong a part of your day. It pleases us each time that you would tune us in and check us out. We've been talking from the book of Romans for the last few days, and I'm going to continue today. In fact, I've got several scriptures from the book of Philippians, Corinthians, Titus. All scripture is good for doctrine, for correction. It is indeed. The fundamental characteristics of truth is its consistency. In the face of every known or unknown fact, truth remains consistent. It is final. It is absolute. Time or circumstances cannot change truth. If we, in the light of new study and new information and in honesty, are compelled to rethink some of our previous conclusions and even change our minds and convictions, it doesn't mean that truth has changed. It simply means that we didn't know the truth, and that circumstances or additional information or fresh insight are compelling us to recognize that fact. We know that Paul says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." That was chapter 7. And then we turn over to chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and Paul says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God, the power that are ordained of God." And then in Corinthians, Paul says, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He told Titus, "This is a faithful saying. These things I will that you affirm constantly." Paul said, "I want you to constantly affirm these things, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto mankind." So we see here in chapter 7, Paul was having a problem with the law of sin as opposed to the laws of his mind, which he served God. So what was his remedy? He tells us in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 8, he says, "There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, because to be carnally minded is death, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So them that they are in the flesh cannot please God." Imagine that. Did you know that? Those that are in the flesh, who operate in the flesh, cannot please God. "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, witchcraft, hatred, strife, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For the law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, Paul says. They that are after the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meek, temperance. Against such there is no law. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then Paul says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That was Paul's answer to the fleshly question of, what will I do? Paul says, walk in the Spirit. Make no provisions to fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit will help you. The Spirit will strengthen you. This Holy Spirit is for every born-again believer. The world cannot receive it, because the world cannot see it, neither can they know it. Peter said, the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord your God should call. It's for you. You can have it. Jesus said He'd give it to those that ask Him. So why not ask Him today?
For the beaten down and broken, full of bitterness and pain, that one crying in the darkness, ashamed of choices that were made, for that life of disappointment been waiting for a change. Yes, I've got some good news for you. Your help is on the way. Your help is on the way. Don't lose hope, 'cause there's gonna be a change. Just call on Jesus' name. Rest your soul, your help is on the way. for the one they said was hopeless. Haunted by a past mistake, and that one that's locked up in a prison, bound with unseen chains. For that lost and weary traveler, that modern day prodigal that strayed. Yes, I've got some good news for you. Your help is on the way. Your help is on the way. Don't lose hope, 'cause there's gonna be a change. Just call on Jesus' name. Rest your soul, your help is on the way. To be a change, just call on Jesus' name. Rest your soul, your help is on the way. Yes, rest your soul, your help is on the way.